Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, and I need Mary's help to understand the State Department and immigration because there's breaking news in Europe. This is the London Telegraph headline. German opposition leader wants comprehensive, quotes, rejection of illegal migrants at borders. Friedrich Merz, the leader of the CDU, Christian Democratic Union, that's the opposition in the Bundestag, will meet government for more talks on toughening policies. What are they talking about? They're talking about refusing any migrant who is not a citizen of Germany or of the EU, refusing to allow him or her to cross the border. Refusing, absolutely. No appeal process. You know, come back in 30 days, refusing. More, I learned from speaking to Berlin that Germany has, in the process of, or already has closed its border to 9 neighboring countries. And that if you're a German citizen and are traveling to Poland, next door, Warsaw, you must show your passport at the border both ways. Mary, a very good evening to you. The European Union has just decided to go backwards in time before Schengen. Before the permission, if you enter one country, you enter all the European Union countries. We're all one. And they've gone there because of the vote of the AfD and a little bit more of Sarah Wagenknecht, but mostly it's the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland. The vote in the Thuringia state and Saxony state and the pending vote in Brandenburg has frightened the coalition in Berlin that the AfD, which stands for anti-migrant, anti-NATO, anti-EU, anti-Ukraine, anti-US, and for Germany. The way they put it is Deutschland for Germans is now an ascendant. And if it embarrasses Olaf Scholz in the vote at Brandenburg, his coalition is likely to fall apart. So I mention all this not because we're going to do German politics, but because Germany is taking the lead here about being tough in public towards migrants. That sounds similar to what's going on in the UK and very similar to what could go on in the United States if the administration changes in one direction. Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, as you rightly point out, this is not a problem that is specific to Germany. We've seen many European states have great trouble integrating and caring for migrant populations. It includes Spain, Italy, Greece, the nations of the Mediterranean, Hungary, but even all the way north to Scandinavia and Sweden and in Britain, you've seen real upheavals to the social order as these countries have tried to absorb, in many cases, tens of thousands of migrants. And, you know, I think in past decades, they wouldn't have received this number. But I think you have to go back to the Obama era when the Syria civil war broke out and Turkey was stuck with more than 1 million people trying to care for them. And a deal was done by Angela Merkel, the former German chancellor, to take many of those migrants. Well, it ended up not being a prudent decision because Germany was beset by a wave of extremist and Islamist violence. And you've seen similar things happen in the other nations that have taken some of these refugees. So you layer on top of that, John, last thing I'll say, the fact that these European economies are not very strong, and you start to see real public discontent from the citizenry that is already struggling to find a job or to be able to afford to move up the income ladder. And then they see, you know, their benefits and given to people who have, you know, been welcomed from other nations, it's a real I think, situation that is difficult in every nation that's dealing with it. And as you rightly point out, if the United States is having a debate about illegal immigration, we're not alone.
Yes, we're not alone, and we're not coming up with a reaction that at this point is systematic. I mentioned Italy, for example, Giorgia Meloni. They've arranged with Albania to build a place for the immigrants who come across from Tunisia. There's a very narrow waterway between the North Africa and outlying islands of Italy. And that has burdened Italy heavily. So they've made an agreement with Albania that those migrants will be taken to Albania as they process their application for entry into the European Union. That is not unlike something that's been tried here about, I think it was called Stay in Mexico. And yet, what we have here is a problem that's going to come up again and again in the next administration. The Biden administration, to my understanding, did not acknowledge the problem until recently. Now there's acknowledgement of it. It seems to have reduced the numbers, but not the way the CDU wants them reduced. Frederick Merz wants everybody told, no, is that imaginable at State Department? Any State Department, would they go along with closing the border to migrants?
Only if there were a major national security threat and or, God forbid, an incident, a terror attack. That's the only circumstance in which I could see them fully shutting down the border, any administration. It's tough to do that. Even if, say, President Trump got a second term, it's just an incredibly difficult prospect. It's thousands and thousands of miles. Which is why when we served in the first Trump administration, we had to take a comprehensive approach. There wasn't one solution. You couldn't just build a wall. You needed to have not just remain in Mexico. You had to have agreements with the Central American nations. We had to start looking at ways that we could reform our legal immigration system, although we didn't get very far on that. It's a multifaceted problem. And we are a magnet, John, because we are the world's most prosperous economy. We're a free nation. We're a generous nation. And the nations, unfortunately, that border us to the south are not. And the prospects for people there are not getting any better. So they are incentivized to try to get here. I mean, in an ideal world, we would have a well-functioning legal immigration system that would be able to vet people. And we would pick and choose who we wanted to come in. That's simply not how it works today. Our immigration system is broken, and we're having to deal with the immediate problem of the surge at the border. I'm glad that both candidates are addressing it, but it should have been addressed in the Biden administration years ago. They rolled back all the measures that we had put in place to protect the border. So I see this surge as the Biden-Harris team's fault. For lifting really prudent, comprehensive arrangements that we had simply because they were President Trump's.
Afghanistan is another place that migrants have come through the Darien Gap, the Mexican border. There were also Afghanistan citizens who became American citizens who are in the United States now. I mention this because there's a new report from the House of Representatives about the withdrawal from Afghanistan in August of 2021. I mention this also because reading an article by an American citizen who was born in Afghanistan, Hamid Mohammed, he signed his name on Grumpy Combat Veteran and Friends. His sister and mother and his wife were left behind when he left. He got his younger brother out. This is during the crisis of August 21. Two of his sisters and their two daughters are still there. He's gotten his mother and his wife out. Ninth graders can't go to school. There's no more school for girls. On the street, you're not allowed to talk if you're female. You're completely covered up. You can enter into no business. You spend your day at home in jail, essentially in jail. That's what we left behind, Mary. Is there someone to help get out people who are related to American citizens? Is there something that the State Department can be done? Because Afghanistan is a porous border with Pakistan and its neighbors. The Taliban takes no responsibilities for these people. They just abandon them. Can we help them?
No, it's very hard for us, if not impossible for us to help. We don't have a State Department presence in Afghanistan. The Chinese and the Russians do, but we're certainly not going to work through them to get our people out. We typically work through the Swiss in difficult situations like that, in places, for example, like Iran. So no, I mean, this was one of the great tragedies of the way that the Biden-Harris team withdrew from Afghanistan. They left people behind. And let's be clear, John. Under our administration, we negotiated a conditions-based withdrawal. You know, both sides, the Afghan government and the Taliban, had to meet certain conditions in order for us to draw down troops. And that's why we still had several thousand troops that were able to help the Afghan army keep the peace by the time President Biden took office in January of 2021. They waited eight months later was when the president made the decision to withdraw in such an irresponsible manner, and people paid with their lives and are still paying, as you point out. It's a tragedy, and it didn't have to happen.
And in the next presidency, is there an opportunity to help the Afghans get out? I mention this because I've also talked to Afghan combat veterans. It bothers them. It bothers them a lot. They're still young. They eventually will be members of Congress and presidents. And it occurs to me that America's going to solve this. It's just a question of when. Is it something that similar to Korea? How do you deal? How does the State Department deal with people who escape North Korea? Does it have an opportunity, a program for them?
Well, that's a different circumstance where you have people escaping over a border into a democratic country where we have a strong military and diplomatic presence. In that circumstance, I guess the equivalent would be if they could get to the U.S. embassy in Pakistan, which is, you know, quite a long ways away. And then that becomes a matter for the embassy personnel to make the immediate decision of whether or not these folks can be admitted. They'd have to be vetted before they could be let onto embassy grounds, which is considered U.S. soil. That's a very difficult thing to do. It may be the right thing to do, but, you know, given the history of terror attacks in that part of the world, I don't think we'd be opening up the gates to just anybody who walked up. So I think it would be quite difficult. It would take a concerted effort and campaign. You'd have to somehow establish contact with dual citizens or Americans who were left in Afghanistan and guide them to safe places. It would put our personnel potentially at risk. Again, they would need to be vetted, and then we would need to transport them to a safe third party country or back to the United States. I don't see it happening, John.
All I can say is Hamid Mohammed does not indicate that he's getting help in Washington, but I haven't interviewed him. I just read his article. Mary Kissel, former member of the State Department, senior advisor to the Secretary of State. She's now Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated. We're going to China, where Mary has much experience. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.